Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Thursday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there. Join the militia. Well, another Louisville game, another cancellation. Syracuse got to go to Kentucky. Sightsee, turn around, come back.
Nice.
Yeah, missed opportunity at a quad one game we were looking forward to. And as our buddy James points out, this is actually the third game in a row between Syracuse and Louisville that has either been canceled or postponed, which is getting ridiculous. And let's just point out, too, that the last two postponements were they're on Louisville, and they can't get their together worth anything, quite frankly. So we'll Coach sounded off on that. We'll sound off on that as well. We got some football news, and Syracuse will stay put at home as Notre Dame comes to visit this Saturday at 2 o'clock. We'll let you know what we think about that. In the days that have passed without any Syracuse basketball, minor movement in the KenPom rankings to 57th and one up, another notch. To 50, what is it, 51st? Is it 52nd? I thought it was 52nd. 53rd
what,
to 52nd. Pan? No, 52nd in the net, I believe. Oh. So, from 53rd. So, yeah, that's all great. Great stuff. So, a missed game, you know, you wake up on game day and you just get, you know, the game day feels, man, and you're ready to go. You got something to look forward to at night. You're going to drink a couple beers. Maybe you know, do a live cast or something like that and shoot the breeze on Twitter with everybody and have some fun and then another cancellation. So anyways, we'll talk about all that. But first, let's hear from the title sponsor of the Cuse Militia and Armchair Media, and that would be Bet Online. Football's over. The Professional Basketball League is in full swing. College basketball is also in full swing, about to approach some tournaments, hopefully, in the NHL, NASCAR. Huh. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. The real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website today on your mobile device and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit if you use the promo code ARMCHAIR. That's a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code ARMCHAIR. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you, Bet Online. Okay, Joe, I'm going to rattle this off, and then you're going to explain it or elaborate on it. Because, you know, it's basketball season. Football season never ends. Sometimes,
here comes Sean.
Sometimes I wish it would. I appreciate the work that is put into NCAA football. I think it's really elaborate as hell. I mean, it never stops. And I mean, technically, basketball really doesn't either, but it's nothing like football.
the football.
Yeah, the football carousel is just nonstop. So some football news: Syracuse did secure their first verbal commit of the recruiting of 2022 recruiting class. 3-star defensive back Cornell Perry, 6'1", 175 pound cornerback out of Woodhaven High School in Michigan. He announced on Tuesday that he would attend Syracuse, according to Syracuse.com. Also, new offensive line coach, according to Pete Thamel, sources per his tweet say, Syracuse expected to hire San Diego State's Mike Schmidt as the school's new offensive line coach. So, one in, then we got one going out. Ryan Bartow, director of high school relations. He was in charge of recruiting and evaluating high school players. He's taken the same job at Florida State after 1 year with Syracuse. So, right when you're making a step in the right direction, poor Dino, he's got to backtrack and figure out and add another one to his list. So there's that. Only lasted a year. I don't blame him, to be honest with you, and it has nothing to do with football, but in Syracuse's program, it has everything to do with leaving Syracuse for Florida. Just throwing that out there. Plus, I mean, you know, talent in every high school on the corner there. So what do you think, Joe?
Obviously, it's tough to really weigh Ryan Bartow as far as like what he has brought to the table in just 1 year. But he has, in his line of work, majority of his, he lived in the Carolinas for 8 years and South Florida for 5 years. So it kind of makes sense that he made that jump to Florida State. Obviously, he's used to that area and he's got some relationships with a lot of high school coaches in that area. So makes sense. And honestly, we're not going to know how big of a loss this is until we actually see if Florida State can actually help their recruiting and if that helps as far as that goes.
Well, quickly, though, do we even get to see an impact after 1 year? I mean, that's not even a fair evaluation, I don't think.
No, I mean, this is a multi-year event. Pretty much. I mean, you'd have to pay attention to this guy, pay attention to the Florida State recruiting classes, and to see really how that really gets affected. But I don't know. I don't know who's got that kind of time, but I don't. So as far as the new offensive line coach, Mike Schmidt, hopefully, again, this is expected, so it's not official, I guess, yet. But guys, he's got a pretty strong resume. Granted, San Diego State, but I don't know. It's a situation since he's taken the position over full time since 2012. I think that this says something. According to the bio on the San Diego State Athletics website, the Aztecs have ranked 15th nationally in rushing yards and rushing yards per game. So. He also coached this last year's offensive line to, I think it was ranked top 25. It was a top, I think, 24th offensive line of the country, or in the country, so to speak. There's some rankings and metrics that kind of weigh that out. But I think he's also gotten 3 offensive linemen drafted from San Diego State. So it looks like he's got a decent resume, and hopefully he can come in and he can make an impact in that area. And as far as the last bit of news, the 3-star Cornell Perry, this is just one of those things where I think his recruitment will probably pick up, barring I don't know exactly what's going to go on with high school sports this year. But
I mean, a verbal commit right now, let's be honest. I mean, it's not very exciting news. I understand. No. We're going to talk about it if it comes through. But it's a 2022 verbal commit, which is great, but how much water does it hold? Let's be honest.
Well, again, it's going to be tough because obviously right now it's so early in the game. This is one of those guys where when you look at the offers, it's like a bunch of MAC schools like Buffalo, Central Michigan, Toledo, schools like that, right? Mm-hmm. But he's also getting interest from Boston College, Cincinnati, Indiana. And I've also noticed when I looked at his tape, he's got a 3.8 GPA. Smart
That's
kid.
Excellent. Yeah.
Sorry.
What the hell was that? Was that a cough or a sneeze?
That was 2 sneezes in a row.
Those were really rapid. That was a. Yeah, that was like
that's how my sneezes go. It's weird. I never sneeze just once.
I was gonna say always, I don't ever hear you sneeze that much.
It's 2 to 4.
It's least. 2 to 4 like that. Boom, 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 like that.
Oh yeah.
You're mm-hmm. like a sneeze machine gun.
Dude, it's tough.
Holy cow! What happens it's in rough. A sneezing fit, man? I mean, do you get to breathe?
Nah, I gotta go blow the nose and breathe. Yeah, for sure. It takes a little while to come back from, but I'm gonna try to do my best. but either way,
takes a lot out of him, folks. He's fatigued.
This kid, obviously 3.8 GPA, smart kid. You got the Yales and the Penns and even Army, and you know, so it kind of tells you where his head's at as far as a smart kid. And also got that, you know, leadership type quality where you got the military schools that are interested as well. But when you look at his tape, I mean, I know it says 6'1", 175, but he looks a little bigger. And this is one of those guys that he's going to be a safety. You can tell looking at his tape. I love how he comes downhill and attacks the runner as far as on rushing plays. Seems to be a pretty sure tackler. And the other thing that I really like, too, is, you know, a lot of times you see some of these secondary guys. I know I used to get on, was Evan Foster all the time about taking bad angles and stuff like that, not putting himself in a position to kind of,
no, that wasn't,
you know.
That wasn't his name.
Evan Foster?
Yeah.
Pretty sure it was. He was a safety. But.
Who else was it then?
No, I don't know.
I hate to do this live right now. Screw you up.
Yeah, it's tough.
I feel like.
But either way, the one thing that I saw is that when he gets out in the, like, he stays on in his lanes. He doesn't over pursue. He breaks down and doesn't let, you know, he holds off blockers well. So it's a situation where I feel like he does what he has to do and puts himself in position to make the plays. He doesn't just attack and put himself in a bad spot and his teammates in a bad spot to miss a tackle or open up the field for a cutback or something like that. So there's just a couple of things that I saw in his tape that I liked. And obviously that's a stacked position for us right now as far as secondary and recruiting and everything. So might not necessarily need to be a position of need to where he has to come in and help as a true freshman. But, either way, I like the way that he plays. I like this tape. 4.44 40. It's pretty fast. Running away. He played receiver on offense too in his tape. So he made some good plays, got some ball skills, got some running skills and stuff like that. You saw him running away from some people. So overall, I think obviously a pretty good get if we can obviously keep him because we have a whole year.
Yeah, we have a whole year of recruiting and a year and a half to that season.
But either way, it's the first commit. You got to talk about it.
Yeah. Yep. Remember the name. That's all I can say.
Cornell Perry.
All right. Hey, look. So, coach in the team, they were in Louisville. I think this is so...
I think this is the second time this has happened.
This is the second time it's happened the day of a game, and it's so. What do I want to say? What is the word I'm looking for? Not. It's frustrating, obviously, but it's so.
Bittersweet.
No. It's just so something. So.
God.
Help me out,
wish,
bro.
You're wish you like had the word. I don't know. I tried. Right, I threw bittersweet out, and you just
bittersweet was out. Not it. That was not it. It's so. It's not irresponsible, but it's so like complacent. Like, what are you doing? Where your last four games have been postponed because of you? You've been in quarantine for 16 days now, including today. Okay, and you're still popping in contact tracing. Still. Like, how? What is going on? What are you doing?
They had a positive test.
How? What are you doing? You must be. You must be. Look, here's the thing. Syracuse got busted. There was said to be student athletes. We still don't know yet. That's not confirmed, by the way. This party, they had some kid who witnessed it and took video and ratted them out and everything, called the police and everything, because there was people outside without masks. Were they inside without masks too? Probably. But he saw them outside without masks. That's why I called the police. Okay? So there were student athletes involved in this. And I think that that is irresponsible. If you're a student athlete, you're putting that program and your team at risk for a selfish gain. Okay? I think student athletes have some level of responsibility when it comes to staying, you know, following all the rules to be safe, yeah. Right? Because you don't want to put your team. Rules are rules. You play sports.
No matter
sports,
what you think about it.
You have an academic scholarship, and that's, you know, you want to get into that. It's a whole other thing, but I'm just saying, you're there on a scholarship, and you get to play sports, and you get all these frills and things like that. Follow the rules. Do your thing. There's no excuse for Louisville to have a positive test 16 days after they started this whole quarantine thing. For their February 1st issue, whatever it was.
Right.
So Syracuse gets there. They have to turn around and leave like 4 hours before tip-off, okay? So Matt Park tweets out the other day, yesterday, tonight's Syracuse game in Louisville has been postponed. He quotes Boeheim. He says, quote, "It's bad. We played well and have had two good practices. We're ready. At the end of the year, there are missed opportunities. It's one thing if you lose, that's bad. But if you can't play, that's worse." Boeheim again. "At the end of the year, there are missed opportunities. Louisville twice, Florida State, Clemson, three of them at home. Terrible for our team. I feel bad for our guys." And that's just it. So when you go and you're a student athlete and you go out, let's just say it's Syracuse. So let's say Buddy Boeheim goes out to a party and freaking he gets pops a positive test. He screws the team. He screws the program and he screws the team coming, you know, the next team we're facing. It's inexcusable for Louisville to still be popping on this contact tracing stuff. It's inexcusable to me. So do we make up the game? You would think that. And they're not going anywhere in the net. They're still like 34th. You know, it's not a huge deal, but they're sitting right there. They can't be denied for if the tournament was tomorrow. How could you deny them?
Here's an argument. And to me, it's kind of a legitimate one, but some of these postponement games and stuff, I think that the committee should look at who was at fault. I think that how a team has handled and managed this COVID crisis, I think that should be a criteria this year.
Yeah, I think Louisville's done a terrible job.
Yeah, there's just a lot of teams that have done a terrible job. There's other teams that have just decided, you know, and that's the difference. You look at a Duke team that, you know, they canceled all their non-conference games because of the whole COVID thing. Now, you can call all that stuff on Duke, but because they did that in the beginning, I don't think that they're going to take as much of a hit. But Louisville, in the especially something like this game, like you said, I mean, it's been two and a half weeks. They haven't played a game. They finally got to the point where they were ready to go, and then all of a sudden, boom.
When are we testing them too?
That shouldn't go. The fact that we can't play a game because of another team shouldn't go against us.
No, at that point, especially like, look, I know there's no rules written for this. Okay, at Tony Staffieri on Twitter says, you know, if this game's rescheduled against Louisville, if there's a chance for it at the end of the year, this needs to be a home game at Syracuse. They can come back to us. Like we're not going there. Mm-hmm. They've jerked us around enough, right? So. You know, you'll be lucky to get one of these games back. I think the right thing for the NCAA to do, and I think the writing was on the wall, probably, I don't know, at the beginning of the year.
When I said it?
At the beginning of the year, was to leave bigger gaps in between the tournaments. I don't care if it's April Madness or May Madness. I don't really care. Okay, the right thing for the NCAA to do is to leave the gaps. Now, there's a lot of people with a lot of different ideas, skipping that ACC tournament or conference tournaments in general, using that period for a quarantine time. Why? Why?
This is a problem of just leadership not being able to see things, right? I mean, Boeheim, he said it from the beginning. Oh, if this is how it's going to be, it's going to be a problem. We're not going to be able to. And you want to squeeze this in and have a normal schedule, that's going to be a problem because now you have the problem of teams where it hasn't affected them versus teams that have. So now you have teams with uneven schedules. You have some teams that didn't get the same amount of non-conference games, so they're not going to get those wins built up. And you got some teams that are 8-8, other teams that have played 20-plus games. It's going to be a difficult and tall task. This should have been something that was foreseen, and they should have spread out the schedule to allow for reschedules. The fact of the matter is that it's not. Even with Syracuse, it's just a situation where what are you going to do? I mean, we play Saturday, we play Monday, then we don't play for another Saturday. So what do we try to squeeze a Wednesday, Thursday? And then, you know, you look at the rest of the schedule and we don't have anything clear until after our last game. We'll have, I think, a little bit of time to maybe reschedule one, possibly two games, but then are they going to be available? So there's just, like I said from the beginning, they should have took 2-3 weeks. They should have spread everything out to where you have
at least two weeks.
3-4-5 day in between schedule so that you can fit some games in, because you can't go back to back on a normal schedule, you can play after 2 days.
Right. And you got to, you know, there was another one I saw from John Casillo on Noon's Magician, I think, where he said, you know, finish the ACC regular season in a bubble at Greensboro, or where they plan on playing the ACC tournament, and finish it off there and go right into the tournament. I mean, that's one way. Okay, all right, that's an idea. Or we could just...
That's an expensive idea.
That's an expensive idea. It's a very expensive idea. But you understand that these dates for the tournaments have been already set, but who cares? Who cares? If you got to push it back, you got to push it back. I don't know what to tell you. The sooner they did that, the better than easier it would be to plan it out.
It's not like you're telling 30,000 people that their dates changed.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what's the problem with? I mean, as far as Syracuse goes, I mean, we're not even selling tickets. We don't even have fans.
No, by the way, Notre Dame is a makeup game. The game we're about to preview here in a little bit, that is a makeup game. So you still, if you don't miss any more for the year, you're looking at two Louisville games, a Florida State and a Clemson. Now, I've watched Florida State play last week against UVA. Bro, they smoked.
I'm okay with that one.
They smoked UVA. If we don't have to reschedule that one, I'm okay with that. Okay with that. But two opportunities against Louisville would have been nice, and one of them would have been nice, and we'll just have to see what they decide. But if the wheels aren't turning for the NCAA right now, that's a travesty. That's irresponsible, and it's really kind of dumb. Like,
should have already turned.
Yeah, I mean, it's dumb. I mean, and I can sit here as a pedestrian fan and say it's dumb, and I'm sure there's more things involved in it, but I have been hearing crickets from the NCAA.
Right.
Crickets. So, you know.
And then there should have been something that was said about the fact of teams bringing up the fact that they can opt out of their conference tournaments, because that's going to bring a whole different conundrum to this situation.
I don't like that idea either. I don't like that idea either.
I think that, like you said, I think if you don't play in your conference game, then you...
If you skip the conference, there's got to be, like, you can't just skip your conference because, you know, you've got the record or criteria to...
Or because you're safe. Because it's never happened even in the past. Like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's because of the whole COVID thing. They don't want to chance being around that many different people.
Right. And if we can do that, why can't we just put the gaps in between the tournaments? Like, it seems like the easiest solution to me. Okay. All right. Well, that's that. I was trying to get y'all's thoughts on that before we came on, and I dropped the ball this morning to see what...
There's some ideas out there. But
there are some good ideas out there, yeah. But not playing basketball to play just the tournament, it screws a lot of people over, and I don't think it's fair. And you're missing people having makeup games. These smaller schools, I mean, they're losing their asses hand over fist right now on the ticket sales and things like that. And if they're just going to screw them out of tournaments too, that's malarkey, man. I'm sorry. I don't agree with that at all. I think it's dumb. I think it's really, really dumb. Okay. Yeah. We will be back with the Notre Dame preview right after this.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed.
Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
All right, a couple more things real quick here. Look, eBay sneakers has jumped on board to help us out. Help out the Q's Militia. Help out Armchair Media. Whether rare, dead stock, or the latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for on eBay as the original sneaker marketplace. eBay is the place to go to cop a pair you've been eyeing. And with eBay's authenticity guarantee, a team of independent professional authenticators, easy for me to say, perform a rigorous inspection of the sneakers you purchase before they're sent to you so you can shop confidently knowing your pair is the real deal. And for the sneaker sellers out there, if you got some you're trying to get rid of, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers $100 plus, making it free to sell and flip your collection. With other sites taking as much as 25%, you're going to have a lot of extra money left for more sneakers. Check it out, ebay.com/sneakers today. Go there, check it out. In fact, I think Armchair is giving away some sneakers too, and I will keep everybody updated on that. Some custom Air Force Ones think there's four pair that they're giving away. So I'll keep you guys updated on that. But I have bought, before they even were a sponsor, the last pair of sneakers I bought were from eBay Sneakers, by the way. And it was a pleasant experience. Bet online, the fastest, easiest way to get in on all of your sports action online. They cover award shows, TV shows, professional basketball, college basketball, the NHL, NASCAR, anything you can imagine, reality TV, which is right up Joe's alley, real-time updated odds and props, and almost anything you can imagine, BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bet online, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website today on your mobile device and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR to get that bonus. That's 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you, BetOnline. Thank you, eBay Sneakers. Okay, so, Joe, Notre Dame. The all-time series with Notre Dame sits at 30-22 in favor of the Orange. Both games last year were decided by a total of 3 points, a one-point loss, and a two-point win for Syracuse. The last game, an 84-82 win with Hughes leading the way with 26 points. We all remember the Gerard DeHubb handoff at the buzzer, which was glorious and wonderful. The Fighting Irish sit 9-10, 6-7. That puts them 10th in the ACC. They have also had a postponed game last night against Clemson due to contact tracing for them. So luckily for us, it was the Clemson team and not them. When I saw their game was postponed, I would quickly check that out. Notre Dame had won 4 of their last 5 games, wins over Pitt, Wake Forest, then they lost to Georgia Tech before beating Duke and Miami. And just like Syracuse, they have 5 guys averaging double figures, led by Nate Lazuski with 15 points and 7.5 rebounds. Lazuski, 6'10 junior and 6'11 senior, Juwan Durham, their 2 bigs. Durham leading his team in blocks with 2 a game. A guard-heavy team with some shooters, 6'6 junior guard Dane Goodwin, 39% from distance. And we all know Prentice Hub. He can do it too. Notre Dame is 56th in KenPom and 65th in the net, making this a quad 2 game at home. Joe, 2 grudge matches last year. And if I had to guess, I'd be willing to bet that this is probably the same type of thing that we're going to see again. I feel like the one thing that bothers me is maybe with the pause helps from this Clemson game for them, but they were getting hot at the right time. They've been kind of on a roll. These teams on paper, they're pretty much evenly matched, but the game's not played on paper. But they seem to be, these two teams seem to be almost what they were last year. Just a tough out for both teams. Could go either way. What say you?
Well, you mentioned the big guys. Notre Dame, they really don't go deep. And one of the things about their team is that they're just very experienced. They haven't played, I think, since the 14th. And they were supposed to play Clemson last night, but that game got postponed, of course, because of Clemson. I would have really liked them to have been able to play last night, but you know.
I know. It would have been nice to watch. Instead they prep for Syracuse.
Right. And so the last 2 games against Miami and Duke, both wins, they've only went 7 deep. Problem is that 5 of them are juniors, 2 of them are seniors, and they're experienced, they can score, they're 13th in KenPom as far as offensive efficiency, but their weakness is defense. Nate Lazuski, yes, he's 6'10", but a lot of times he tends to be around the perimeter. Juwan Durham's given us problems at 6'11 as well, but a majority of their scoring and shots are going to come from Cormac Ryan and Dane Goodwin and Prentice Hub. And again, pretty decent-sized
They shoot
guards.
A lot of threes too, man.
Yeah.
That Dane Goodwin, is all he does is shoot threes.
I mean, 6'5", 6'6". Prentice Hub is 6'3". Coming off the bench, Trey Wirtz, transfer from Santa Clara. He's been getting 20-plus minutes. He's 6'3", and Jogo is a 6'8 guard who's been coming off the bench as well. So he gives a little bit of, obviously, height in the guard position, but they're not really – you look at it like a Joe Girard at, 6 foot, 6'1". He's going to be the shortest guy on the court, and that's something that we're obviously going to have to overcome. And then obviously the rebounding is something that we're always going to look at as Syracuse fans. That's obviously an important stat as far as how telling the game went. But this Notre Dame team, even though they're, what are they, like 9 and 10 or something like that?
Yeah, they're 9 and 10, 6 and 7 in the ACC.
Right. So they're 9 and 10, but they're 6 and 8 out of the last 8 games in the last month. When you look at their schedule and the losses that they've had starting from the beginning, I mean, you're
Ohio
at
Ohio State, Michigan State.
Michigan State, Ohio State, Duke, Purdue, Virginia twice, Virginia Tech, North Carolina. Virginia Tech twice, and right. Then they lost a close one to Georgia Tech. So they haven't lost really a bad game.
They have not lost a bad game.
And this team is, like I said, their weakness is their defense and their depth. But their depth that they do have is experienced, and they're on a roll right now. So they're winning the games they're supposed to. And I think that this is going to be, you know, obviously maybe a closer game than some people might think. I don't know exactly what the line is yet, obviously.
What do you think people are thinking? Because I feel like this is going to be a freaking nail biter. At least that's what, you know.
Those are the type of games that we played, right?
Yeah, and I mean, you're missing what, TJ Gibbs? We're missing Hughes from last year, right. But everything else is pretty much right where
pretty
it
much
was.
The same. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, I think that honestly, this is a game to me, as long as we can rebound and play good defense, that we're going to be able to get some shots. Their defense is like 113th or something like that in KenPom. So it's not a great defense. So they're going to, you know, allow you to score. They've been in some high scoring games, but, to me, this could be a game for Kadari. I think Kadari in this game is a mismatch. It's something that, everyone, they remember the Prentice Hub Joe Girard thing last year, right?
Yes, and which was contentious.
I don't know. Exactly. And I don't think that needs to really be like a situation thing. This year, right? I mean, it doesn't need to be a thing.
Well,
and
Prentice Hub is, he gets into it. He does. And Joe's chippy. So it's just oil and water.
Oh, I 100% get that, but Prentice Hub's not going to be able to guard Kadari, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
So, and that's something that team hasn't seen yet either. So, again, expect the status quo starters.
Yes.
But
yes, there's no reason to think different of that.
Right. But I think Kadari and what he does when he comes in, I think is really, as long as we can keep the rebounding gap close, not give up a lot of offensive rebounds, and basically what Kadari does when he comes in is going to be telling on whether or not we're going to be able to win this game or not. Two things to really look and keep your eye out on. I mean, that's what I'm going to be looking at halftime. When I look at the score, obviously you want to look at shooting percentages and who's scoring what, but I'm going to look at the rebounding, and I'm going to look at how Kadari's doing.
What do we do if inside Kadari, with those two big guys? They play together quite a bit. So,
they do. Nate Lazuski is, again, he's been a guy that's kind of, he likes his little, his baseline three-pointers, and he's got some spots where he's really good with the three-pointers. He's a forward that can, a 6'10 forward that can shoot and extend the floor. So he always hits a few. I don't know really how he is down low. And Juwan Durham, I mean, for almost every game that we've had with Juwan Durham before this, he's gotten in foul trouble, but we've always had kind of a true center going against him, whether it was Chukwu or whether it was Sidibe. So haven't really seen him against Doljai, and I'm not going to lie, it kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah, well, me too. I mean, you know, but...
Big boy.
Yeah, Lazuski, by the way, he's 32 for 62 from distance, which is really controlled. And good. He sits at 51-52%.
Right, but that's not even, what, two a game?
It's you know, something like that. But my point is that he's going to, if he can, he's probably not going to take him if he's not getting him. So you just have to be able to, you just have to be aware of that. Because he can hit him. Right. If you're going to leave him open, he's probably going to hit him.
No, majority,
that's the thing. That's, well, right. But that's the problem with Syracuse's defense, especially the past couple years, where you just don't get to your man and you lose in rotation, and you know we get passed out basically, and Syracuse is lost. They're, all of them are inside the paint, You know what I'm saying?
And an experienced team that's gone against his own can pass their way through it too.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
So again, it's just the unknowns. Last year they were close games, and like you said, we lost Elijah. They lost Gibbs.
Gibbs a hell of an athlete too. Obviously Elijah is. I'm not taking anything
right
away from him.
And we added Kadari, and they brought in a transfer from Santa Clara who's a guard that's, like I said, been playing 20 plus minutes the last couple of games, and he's never seen the zone. So I mean, that's a couple of the key things too that you can look at is
he hasn't seen the zone really a threat right now this year. I mean, I'm just saying.
It could be. You got to be able to. I mean, I'm just saying. You got to be able to learn it, right? And if he's a backup that's coming in and putting up 20, I mean, he's putting up around the same numbers Kadari is, and he's coming in a little bit later. So this is a guy that's not gonna. He hasn't seen the 2-3 zone, and he's gonna come in, and he's gonna probably be playing against Kadari Richmond on the front of it.
Well, that would be unfortunate for him, I guess.
Well, but that's what I'm saying is that I guess, you know, he's a good player, but it's something you got to get used to.
Right.
And I can if I had to guess, you know, Kadari's going to get a couple steals. So that guy might have a couple turnovers just because of that situation. But what is Kadari going to do against them? What is their big guys going to do against us without a traditional center? Those are the things that are kind of a little bit different from last year. But otherwise, I mean, you got two teams that can score. We're statistically better on defense than they are. But again, against the 2-3 zone, anybody can get hot and hitting threes if you move the ball around.
Yeah, Kadari and his – what is he averaging in minutes a game? He's averaging 21 minutes a game. It's pretty good. And two steals. So
right. And I'd be willing to bet, unless Joe's hitting, that he – is probably going to get more minutes this game than he is.
And back to what we've talked about, you've brought up before, is when Kadari gets a lot of minutes, it's because of the matchup issue, and they just exploit what they can while they can, and that's why
right.
Joe will probably start and they'll feel it out, and then they'll throw Kadari in, and they'll rotate Buddy and Joe or whatever.
And he'll get some steals.
Yeah. So, anyways, all right, Joe, we got to do it. Predictions. I don't know why you're so apt on doing it. You're okay with football. You're all about it. And then we get to basketball and you're like, I don't want to predict anything. It doesn't make any sense.
Sorry.
Isn't it fun? Yes.
Sure. It's fun. It's great. Great fun.
Okay. So
fun
we look, so let's add a little to this. Syracuse is averaging 76 points a game and Notre Dame is averaging 72. Okay. So, you know, by the way, Notre Dame's averaging 33 rebounds a game, which is good to know. I think we're averaging 36. We are 36. So I'll go first. I'm going to say, oh man. Okay. I'm going to say 72-68 Syracuse. That's my guess.
All right.
We'll see what happens. What's yours?
Good guess. I'm going to go 79-74.
Okay. Are you going to tell us who wins or no?
Syracuse.
Okay. All right. We're going to actually pay attention to it this time and see who comes out on top.
Well, I mean, you write it down every week, but I feel like you just don't say anything because I beat you every time.
No, here's what's happened the past couple times.
You're a sore loser, I get it.
Things have gotten canceled, and then we forgot it. Last week, we forgot to do it.
Did we? Or did you? Because I won.
Did you?
Of course.
Shut up, Joe. What was mine? what was mine? 72-68? Okay. All right. So... you know, and just for the record, Notre Dame after Syracuse, they've got the bums. The bums.
No.
They're gonna face bums after.
They got a postponement coming next week.
They'll face Louisville on Tuesday. The bums. So
yeah,
good
we'll
luck.
See.
Good luck. See if you can make that game up. Louisville and Boston College. should just be, they should play each other to the bottom. And, you know, who, you know, if Louisville ever gets to play again, if they can control their athletes, you know. So, anyways.
If you get a trophy for most postponements, Louisville wins.
I mean, four in a row? Five in a row now.
Yeah.
That's pathetic.
It's crazy.
It is. It is. And it's pathetic. It's crazy and it's pathetic. All right. Thank you. Bet Online.
Must have been a recruiting weekend.
Thank you to eBay Sneakers. Thank you, Live CBD. And for all of you for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. We love you. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.
You actually said it. You said the word. Said the whole thing. You're the only guy I know that can take one syllable word and make it a half a syllable word. You got no comment?
Got skills.